It's funny you mentioned Chris Ducker. In last week's episode, we were just starting to talk about Chris Ducker, and I did not know Chris Ducker at all until I went to Social Media Marketing World in February of 2018. And the very first person I saw was somebody who I ran into, and they said, who are you going to go see? And I said, well, I'm looking at this person, this person, this person. They said, you got to go see Chris Ducker. And so I said, okay, I don't know who this guy is. I get in there, I'm listening to his spiel, and he's a Brit. So he's got an accent, and he's got the energy of a used car salesman. And he's up there and he's talking and he's got these sayings that he likes to throw out, like market like a magnet, attract the best and repel the rest. And I'm like, oh my gosh, one, I'm entertained, but I didn't know how much I learned from him until I came back to Madison. And I kept thinking about that whole market like a magnet idea. It's like, of course. Why would I want to attract people who don't understand me, who don't appreciate what I do, and complain every time I give them an invoice or a bill to pay? Why am I worrying about them? I don't need them. I want to attract the best, the people who understand me, appreciate me, and don't mind paying my bill. And so I'm looking around my desk here because I keep it on my desk. Rise of the Youpreneur, his book that came out, I think, in 2018. And the way that Pat Flynn has his smart passive income universe, Chris Ducker has his Youpreneur universe. Like, he has the Youpreneur Summit in London every year. And he does multiple things all over the world because the guy is huge. Mm-hmm.
And they're very good friends. They're both very good friends. Yeah.
Of course they are, because they're dynamic guys who are very authentic to who they are. Chris Ducker is a kind of excited rabbit because that's the way he is. Pat Flynn is kind of like your neighbor next door who's sitting across the table from you as you drink coffee together, because that's the way he is. That's what I love about personal branding done right. It's that you see people, you read their stuff, you get a flavor for who they are. And then when you meet them in person, it's like, oh, you're exactly as I expected you to be. Have you run into that situation where you meet people that you've seen or followed online and all of a sudden you go, oh, wow, you are exactly who I expected you to be?
Yeah, not that much, because I don't get the chance to meet them because they're very far away. Yeah. Well, that kind of happened with you, right? Because I listened to you and I started talking to you, and you're the same person that I listen to on the podcast every single day. I still can't believe that I'm here, because when you contacted me, I said, well, why would he want me to be on the podcast? But anyway, I'm here.
Well, I'm so glad you are, because from my point of view, I'm like, oh, great, Pablo's in. You know, I make no assumptions about anybody, but I will ask anybody anything, because I've learned one thing in life: you don't ask, you don't get. And that's another big thing for personal branding. But as you were saying.
Yeah, no, I was saying that I would say that mainly happened with you, like meeting you, right? The person you hear every single Monday on the podcast is the same one that starts talking to you, although we're recording the podcast. That's, when you're not, we're still talking the same way. You're still the same person. When you get, you do your, how you call it, your talk.
My walk talk brand when I'm out walking Olive, yeah, my dog. Yeah.
That's very natural, and it's the same person, right? And I think that's very important, as you say. That's being the right person and not caring, as you were just saying, that not trying to please everyone, right? You have to be you, and anyone that likes you and that's in the niche you're looking to impact, that's good. You're trying to get them to like you, but you don't have to try to have everyone like you, because that's almost nothing, right?
Well, if you're trying to make everybody like you, you're going to fail. Absolutely guaranteed. There's an old saying that President Abraham Lincoln said, you can please some of the people some of the time, or whatever. I'm going to get it wrong. But his point was, you can never please all the people all the time. So don't even try. I am really glad to hear that I come off. Well, frankly, I have one gear, and that gear is me. You know, it's like, I'm old enough to have come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. That's cool. I don't need to be. And I'm guessing that you've probably gotten to that point as well. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's, and I think that that happens to us when you come from the corporate world, as I know you come from, and you always have to have that some kind of way of speaking and doing things and always trying to please someone that you don't really like or you don't care about. So I think at some point, and that I think that has to do with things that happen around us and how the world is changing, but also with age, you know?
Yeah.
And you get to a certain point that you say, okay, I'm okay with that. I don't want to be, as you say, everyone's cup of tea.
So what are you actively doing on social media as you begin your kind of journey toward whatever your goal is professionally as a personal brand that wants to be something more than just somebody else's employee?
Well, basically right now I'm, as I said, learning, gathering a lot of information. I've been gathering real information for quite a long time, but now it's very kind of active and very strategic in the way. Basically starting to get in contact with people, right? Like do with you, and I'm starting to, through the nonfiction brand podcast and the people you're inviting, like Sarah Gross and Kate Toon and other ones that I'm starting to engage with them as well as other people, right? So right now I'm trying to be much more active in going back and forth and learning about and seeing how that works, how that, the fact that getting on a conversation and creating a conversation, not just posting, right? It's not just media, not just broadcasting information, but not just showing products, but showing the person behind the product, showing the person behind the company and engaging, right? That's what basically I'm focused on learning more about and how I'm seeing that, how that works, right? It's much better to have just one post, one video with 3-4 comments and conversations going back and forth than having, I don't know, 200 likes on a photograph, right? Or
yeah.
200 likes on a quote or a product, right?
Yeah, I like to say that likes are almost worthless when it comes to what it gives you, the liker. It helps the person who posted because the more likes they get, it's going to be wider, you know, it's going to be shared more widely by the algorithm. But if you're the person giving the like, you get nothing back. Maybe a little bit of goodwill generated with the poster. But imagine instead, I call it the like plus. You give them a like, but then you add a comment. And in that comment, there are 4 specific things: ARAT, appreciation, recognition, addition, and a task or takeaway. What does that mean? It means something like, hey, Pablo, I saw your post about whatever you talked about. Really great ideas. Have you thought about doing this additional idea that is, you know, talking about the topic? If you're interested, I could give you a PDF that I have, blah, 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 blah. I'm not forcing it on you, but I'm inviting a conversation. Now, typically what will happen is the person I just posted that to is going to respond back saying, hey, thank you. I really appreciate the kind words from my post. Tell me more about this PDF. And then we have a conversation about that. If we have a 5-entry conversation, that's worth more than 50 likes when it comes to engagement via the algorithm. And the thing is, by having that conversation, you create relationships. So again, Pablo, I'm pointing right to you. I asked you to be on this podcast because you built a relationship with me and I found value in it. I found that you had something interesting to share. And I couldn't wait to bring it to the audience that the massive nonfiction brand podcast audience.
Very global right now.
Well, it is global.
You have Australia, you have Argentina, you're covering the whole world.
Well, and that's part of the strategy, because let me tell you, when you're on Tatooine, sometimes you've got to go to Dagobah, and sometimes you've got to go to the white hot center of the universe to get your credit. And for those of you who are listening who aren't Star Wars fans, I'm sorry, you need to get with the program.
that's another thing we have in common, right? Star Wars and the guitars I see you back there.
Yeah. Well, they look more impressive than they are. I'm the king of cheap guitars because I have instead daughters. I don't have expensive guitars. I just have daughters. And that's fine because they're the love of my life and they drive me absolute crazy.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
So, yeah. Buenos Aires. I've never been to Buenos Aires. I've never been to Argentina, and I've never been south of Mexico City. Can you tell me what's going on that's really cool in Buenos Aires right now, or Argentina in general?
Yeah. So I think everyone would say this of their country, but Argentina in general, it's a very, very nice country, very worth visiting. You can find almost every single kind of place. I was just on vacation in the south of Argentina, in Patagonia. And even in Patagonia, they have places like a very, very dry, very desertic. And then you go to the Andes and you have woods and lakes and that kind of stuff. And it's a very wide range of very different places you can meet. You can go very hot places in the north, very dry, hot places in the north. Really big waterfalls also in the northeast. Really, really beautiful that we share with Brazil. Then you go south, we have the southernest city in the world, right? Very, very south of Argentina. And then in Buenos Aires is a very particular city. It's also very, very, very nice. It has a lot of nightlife. We, for example, very fun fact, right, about Argentina, Latin America in general, but Argentina, we eat dinner really, really late, like for you guys. So a normal time for dinner at home is 9:30. Right?
Wow.
That's really normal for us. The culture is very influenced by Italian and Spanish communities, right? Basically. Then we have Irish, like me, Irish families, and many others. That the mix of different races and nationalities that came and lived in Argentina is really, really big. That's one of the things that impacts people a lot. It's and makes it different from some other places in Latin America, for example. And the city of Buenos Aires, as I was saying, it has a lot of it's very green, has a lot of really cool places, and to me, then also small lakes and the river. We have the river really close, and there's a lot of, as I say, nightlife. You can find people having dinner many, many places on a Wednesday at, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night or later, right? People waiting online to have dinner at that time.
Oh my God, I would be totally in deep REM sleep at that point.
The architecture in Buenos Aires is also very, very famous, European influenced. So there's a lot to see, a lot to see. You'll be able to see it when we do the first road trip of your training here in Buenos Aires.
Well, let me tell you,
in Latin America.
Let me tell you make it happen. I'll be there because especially if I can take my wife Elizabeth. All this drama that I've got going on with the Nonfiction Brand Versity and Nonfiction Brand Podcast, all this stuff, all that would dissolve in my wife's mind if I said, hey, honey, do you want to go to Buenos Aires?
Yes.
But right. That's the goal, right? That is really the goal of, in my case, personal branding. It's not about money. It's about opportunity. It's about flexibility. It's about not having to worry about the day-to-day mundane stuff that can give you an ulcer or a heart attack by age 60. Or I'm saying 60 now because I'm getting closer to that than 50. Yeah, I'm on the backside of that. But so what is your ultimate goal? Can you paint a picture for what's in your head, kind of the dream, or what I like to call the soul hustle? You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about a side hustle, I'm going to start a t-shirt company on the side while I got a full-time job. Okay, that's a side hustle. A soul hustle is, this is the thing I want to do that fills my life.
Mm-hmm.
What's your soul hustle? What's your goal?
It's very related to what you just said. It has to do with freedom, right? When I picture myself, I picture myself like having, like doing things more on my own. Right. As I said, I consider myself a teacher. So that's what I want to do. I want to communicate and teach people what I'm learning, everything that I've been learning. I think that's no more space in my head and every single gadget that I have for the information that I've been accumulating. I want to start giving. Right. I feel good when I give. So that's what I want to do. And related to the other thing we were talking about, traveling, I want to travel and move around. I want to move around. I just don't want to commute back and forth to the office and just sleep at home, right? I want to be able to work at home or able to work at anywhere where I feel more comfortable. I feel much, much more comfortable working at a Starbucks than in the office normally. And I would love to be able to do what this teaching that I want to do, and pushing people in order to have their own brands and their own businesses, but doing that mainly through Latin America, right? That's what I think I consider my market and kind of my backyard in a way.
Well, I want to underline something you said that is so important. Regular listeners of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast will remember recent episodes with Leah and Dan Rowe, two friends of mine who are starting a brand new business, and they came up with a couple of words to describe each other that have helped center their vision and their business. In Leah's case, the word is coach. She is a coach. In Dan's case, the word is builder. He's a builder. Together, they're working as a coach and builder to build that business. But by having those words, they have the power to say no to things that are not aligned with those kind of core central ideas for themselves. Do you know how many times you said the word teacher in the last 5 minutes? Probably about 20. I think you found your word. Okay. That is the core, the DNA truth of Pablo Killian is teaching, to become a teacher. So creating programs, yes. Creating online processes and sales funnels that gets people into your programs, yes. Selling t-shirts that have funny sayings, maybe not so much, unless they relate to teaching ideas. It becomes, in my mind, a sorting device. You know, it's like a decision tree on a flow chart. Yes, you go right. No, you go left. And it's very clear, and it makes it a whole lot easier to use what I love to call the most powerful word in the English language and a whole lot of other languages. No, I'm not doing that, because I am saying yes to a whole lot of other things that are completely aligned with who I am, the person I know I am, and the person I want to be. It's that old saying of mine, know who you are so you can be it. If you know who you are, Pablo Killian teacher, that makes it so much easier to be Pablo Killian teacher. So I applaud you for that. And you might want to get the word teacher tattooed on your forearm. In several different languages, because you've got Portuguese right up next to you. You've got Spanish, and then, of course, English, which you are an incredible English. You speak English better than I do. My tongue gets a little fat. But so what can the listeners of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast do for you? How can we help you in your journey toward that teaching place you want to be?
First thing I think I can think of right now is just connecting back, right? I'll be trying to connect with all of you and trying to learn from you and just connecting back, answering questions and that kind of stuff. That's something they'll be doing. They have been doing so. It's been really great. So I think that's the first thing that I can think of.
Well, let's make it easy for people by saying Pablo's name is Pablo, spelled as you would expect it to be spelled. But the last name, kind of interesting, Killian, K-I-L-L-I-A-N, definitely Irish. I mean, to be honest, if you were here in the upper Midwest of America and you had a restaurant called Pablo Killian's, we'd expect to have Irish tacos or, you know, or something like that. And frankly, there are restaurants like that that are this mashup of two very interesting cultures. So Pablo Killian, very active on LinkedIn. What other channels are kind of your top tier channels?
I would say it's mainly LinkedIn. Been out of Twitter for some time now. And I kind of use Instagram. It's more like family. And sometimes I share some of the things I learn, that I'm also trying to find out what's the strategy there, right? Trying not to bother too much people who are just wanting to know about my life and bashing them with other kinds of information.
Are you doing any video at all?
Not yet. That's what I need to do. I want to start doing it right now. I'm about to jump on that. I know a lot of people are saying that, and that's something that's going on around, but I know I have to do it. And I know, as I said, given the differences on the waves and how things happen on one part of the world, another part of the world, that would help me a lot. That would help my brand a lot. So I still, I think I need to get the information in order, right, and decide what I want to start saying, but not delay that too much, right?
Yeah, and the key is, don't wait till you got a huge pile of stuff to talk about. Just figure out one thing throw up a 1 minute video that's just letting people see who you are, how you talk, what you're like, and maybe a helpful tip. So you've seen my walk, talk, brand things. Do you know how long it took me to figure out my style? It's not hard to dig to find these things. You can go to my DP Knutton YouTube channel, and I think some of them are still up. I came back from social media marketing world where everybody was talking about video, and I tried a couple of different styles of video. Like, here's a sit-down video that's me talking about something I just saw, and here's another one where I'm trying to teach something, and it was like I was trying on shoes that didn't fit. And then one day, I happened to stumble on a Apple iOS app called Spark Camera. And that changed everything for me because it was the tool that fit my style that I had yet to develop. And the only way I knew it when I hit it was that I tried it this way, tried it that way, not so much, but oh, this is kind of cool. And then it worked, and then it became easy, and then it became fun. And now people are talking about how's Olive, my dog, because Olive tends to be in those quite a bit because, by the way, that's a strategy, which is you may not like me, but I guarantee you're going to love my dog.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was curious about that. How did the app Spark help you defining your style?
Well, because I literally at one point, I actually have someplace a tool that is designed to take your iPhone and turn it into a teleprompter. You know, you put it on in front of your camera lens. I've got a Canon 70D DSLR. You plug it on there and then you can use your iPhone and it automatically scrolls the words. So I'm sitting there and it's scrolling too slow. And so I reset it and it's scrolling too fast. And I could never get it to the right thing. And it didn't feel like me, you know? So I spent $100, I think, US on this thing. And it works great, but not for me because it's not my style. I happened to be on YouTube and a guy I follow who's a photographer happened to be doing a demo of this app, Spark Camera. And he got me when he showed the interface that allows you to record snippets and it's like a circle and you can trim off the front of the circle or the back of the circle. Like here, if I start shooting, I might say something like, I hold my finger on the screen. There's a pause. And then I say, and today the weather is pretty darn bad. And then I take my finger off the screen. It stops recording. That clip is just me saying, and today the weather is pretty darn bad. I can then trim off a little bit of the front, a little bit of the back, and then have all these individual clips all lined up. It's so easy and fast. What used to take me 4 hours to edit became 40 minutes to do, to record as I'm walking my dog and get up. Plus, you know, I use the black and white filter. Why? Because nobody else is. And it also helps take some of the redness out of my old guy's skin, to be honest. Think of it as Instagram for video. That's what Spark Camera is. And if you haven't checked it out, if you have an iPhone, they don't make it for Android. Sorry, guys. But if you have an iPhone, check it out. $2.99 US in the United States. Don't know what it is in Buenos Aires, but it's cheap. And it may be the thing that allows you to do it. Because here's the thing. You don't have to do video the way other people do. You have to find the way that is authentic to you, the way you think, the way you work, et cetera. And that's why I love doing the ones I do so much because, yeah, that's me. That's the way I think. It's the way I work. And I can get it done. You know, it's take a lot of the friction out of the system. Pablo, I am so looking forward to seeing a video from you posted within the next 14 days.
It will be, and you'll be tagged in it.
Oh, good. And believe me.
That's kind of the pressure I needed.
Well, good. And here's the thing, too. By tagging me and saying, hey, DP, check this out, I'm going to respond. And I'm not just going to give you a thumbs up like. I'm going to start. My goal with every comment is to create a conversation. And that should be your goal, too. Every comment that you make, open it up as a conversation. It'll benefit both parties. And then all of a sudden you've created a relationship that can enable you to meet someone cool like Pablo Killian in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Hey, now I have a friend in Buenos Aires. I think that's pretty darn cool. And you got a friend on Tatooine.
Absolutely. That's something I'm going to tell my son.
Good. Is there anything else that I can do specifically to help you, Pablo?
Not that I can think of right now. I'm more than thrilled of being here. I never suspected that you were going to ask me to be on the podcast when I started connecting with you. But this is kind of a proof of what can happen when you start engaging with people, right?
This, yeah.
Crazy things can happen.
Exactly. And I want to give you an example. The Rotoma book, when it was just about done and ready to be published and stuff, I thought, oh, I should really get someone to blurb it, someone to write a little quote for the cover and maybe the back of the book. And I reached out to two really big people. I don't know if you know Anne Handley, but she's really big in the content creation space. And the other person is Scott Galloway, who's the clinical professor of marketing at the New York University Stern School of Business, which is a top 10 business school around the globe. He's a huge guy. I sent out a PDF of the book to those two people, thinking, they don't know me. I'll just try to write something charming and funny, and maybe they'll be nice. Guess what? They responded with great quotes because I asked. And that's the day I learned, oh my God, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I'm telling you, Pablo, thank you for answering my ask with a yes for coming on the podcast today. I'm so glad to meet you. And I encourage everybody who's listening to the podcast to link to Pablo Killian. He's the only Pablo Killian from Buenos Aires on LinkedIn and maybe the only Pablo Killian in the world. I don't know that for sure, but just say Pablo Killian, Buenos Aires. And I will say that if the picture shows him a little bit light on hair, you got the right guy.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. That's right.
He's available on LinkedIn. And also, he's a member of Nonfiction Brandversity.
Yep. Yeah, I am in Facebook. Yep.
So you can be too. Just look up Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook, ask to join, and you are in guaranteed. It's free, it's fun, and it's for anybody who wants to take their personal brand or their small business brand from zero to hallelujah. Okay, well, thank you, Pablo, for being on the podcast. We're at the end of the second episode of two featuring Pablo Killian of Buenos Aires, Argentina. I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, hook up with Pablo via LinkedIn and Facebook and especially Nonfiction Brandversity. For the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I'm DP Knutton, and he is
Pablo Killian
from Argentina. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.